Hi, everyone. I'm Kylie.
Hi, Kylie.
We good? Okay. So I just want to confess that I always put a little bit of pressure on myself when I'm going to speak about the Al-Anon program, because I think, how can I possibly convey how much Al-Anon has done for me? It feels like a very big task, a big responsibility. So I just share that with you because the truth of the matter is, it's not my job. It's God's job. My job is just to try to be open so that God can speak through me. And so when I was directed to the pages in the From Survival to Recovery book, to the questions, I read those questions and I was like, oh my God, like, if I had answered these questions 20 years ago, every answer would have been a resounding and heartbreaking, yes, oh yeah, I do that, oh, I do that too, you know? And as I'm reading this, I'm like, no, I don't do that. Oh my God, I don't do that anymore. Oh my God, I forgot that I ever even did do that. Like, that's a miracle. And I wanted to focus, this morning when I said my prayer, I have these little cards. They're little Rumi quotes, and if you're not familiar with Rumi, Rumi's a Sufi poet. And I sometimes play this game where I just shuffle them all up and I grab one, like, okay, what am I supposed to focus on today, God? And I was sort of like, what do I want to focus on for this talk today? And the card I drew says, your soul was a snake, but is now a fish. It leaps in the spring of immortal life. And the interpretation is, love and hard work have changed you from someone who was struggling into someone who lives in joy. And the footnote here is, because of Al-Anon. And so the two questions that I kind of wanted to talk about were questions 10 and 11. Do you feel suicidal or have a need to hurt yourself or others? And do you tolerate unacceptable behavior even after you have said you won't? Those jumped out at me because I have two suicide attempts in my history. I haven't ever talked about that, I don't think, in an Al-Anon speaking event. And just a little background about growing up in the disease of alcoholism. There was a lot of violence in my home. My biological father abandoned me at age 4. My stepfather was a heroin addict who frequently spent his paychecks on his habit. So there was a lot of financial insecurity and instability in our home. And my mother's response to that was a lot of rage. I had an older brother sexually abuse me. All of these things, I had no idea of knowing that this was because my family had a disease. And what I did, my response to that was, I took on all these behaviors as if they were a reflection of me and my worthiness. I did not understand that their behavior was a reflection on them. I do now. So when I went out into the world and started getting into relationships with other people, I was tolerating a lot of unacceptable behavior. And in two instances, my reaction to that was to harm myself. So in one case, I had a, check this out. So my stepfather was a heroin addict named Bill. And in my late 20s, I had my very own heroin addict named Bill. So I had officially become my mother. And he was standing over me screaming and abusing me, and I didn't know how to get him to stop, and so I hurt myself. And I don't know if anybody else can relate to that, but I have come to learn, and something that both Marina and Linda spoke about that was really important was that the program is the first place where we feel understood. So I couldn't tell anybody about this. And so when I started working the program, and I would share these things in my four-step, and to have my sponsor nod her head and say, I understand. I've done something like that too. I've hurt myself in some way because of other people's behaviors. The other instance was my alcoholic boyfriend at the time. I was going through some difficult time that I can't even remember what the situation was, but I really needed him, and he had to come home. And instead of coming home, he went to the bar, because that's what alcoholics do. But for me, it was every person who had gone to the bar instead of love me. It was every person from my family. It was all, you see how the wound kept coming because it wasn't healed. So the wound in me was actually growing, and I was actually now contributing to the wound by putting myself in these situations. And my response to that situation again was to try to take my life. And so when I read that question, I thought, I can't even remember the last time harming myself was something I even considered. And that's because of these steps. And I can't remember, like, putting myself, what is the question here? Question 11. Do you tolerate unacceptable behavior even after you have said you wouldn't? So this was my struggle. I'm a smart person. And so I would see myself putting myself in these situations, and I was like, what am I doing? I mean, from a psychological perspective, like your psychology 101 class you took in college, I get, right? Okay, so I had an alcoholic, drug addict, you know, stepfather, so I'm seeking out these, you know, I get that intellectually, it makes sense, but I'm smart. Why am I not doing something different? Why do I keep ending up in these situations? And it was my disease. It was my disease putting myself in those situations, and I was powerless over it. So I have to tell you, there was such relief for me when I saw those first two steps. Oh, the reason I'm powerless. I can't help it. And I was going to therapy, you know, and what I needed was for that spiritual solution, because I'd been in talk therapy and I could figure it out. Oh yeah, I get why I went to this and did that. I understand all that. How do I stop? How do I stop putting myself in this situation? I don't know how to stop. The 12 steps teach me how to stop. The first lesson is you can't do it. You can't do it. God can. That's step two. Oh, thank God for step two, right? Because step one sounds a little bleak. Really? There's nothing I can do? But there actually is a lot we do, right? We come to a meeting. We get the courage to pick up the phone. We get the courage to work those steps. I am a firm believer in those steps. The program is the steps. The fellowship is wonderful, it's beautiful, it's amazing. This program is about these steps. And the steps are how I go from surviving to thriving. I look back on it. I was really little. There was a lot of violence, a lot of poverty, spiritual poverty, emotional poverty. And somehow, I live in, like, I think the most beautiful place in the country. We're sitting here today in a place called Pleasant Hill. It's really pleasant. Like, as I was driving here, there's this vista, and I'm looking, I'm like, oh my God, it's like a really pleasant hill I'm driving along. It's true. And so now, instead of the world being this terrifying place that I had to try so hard for to get love, to just scratch and scrape and beg and plead for love. I don't do that anymore. Turns out that the steps, this is always hard to articulate, but it's like the steps pulled me out of that darkness and brought me back to myself, back to my own original innocence. And so now I start to get to experience the world like that. Not as this scary place where people are out to get me and I have to beg for love. You know, it's like everything was lacking. And now everything's abundant. And that's from these steps. And one of the ways that I think if I had to summarize how I integrate the steps into my life, because there is the formal process right there. We have amazing literature in Al-Anon, and we can write about these things and read about it, and then we meet with a sponsor and we talk about it, and it's a deep process, and it's gentle. And if you've ever been to an open AA or NA meeting, they'll say things like, do the steps or die. Because that's what it's like for them. Their experience is like, if I don't stop drinking or drugging, I'm going to die. That actually was my truth, too, for the Al-Anon program. And so I really encourage people to work the steps. And it's really, it's just been such a profound shift in my way of being in the world and my way of experiencing the world. So now I notice Pleasant Hill. I do. No, like I was so gripped by my miserable story that I couldn't even notice a pretty sunset. Or if I did, it was just for a split second. And one of the ways that my higher power speaks to me is through nature and through beauty. And my job is simply to pay attention. But I'll forget to pay attention, right? Because I'm a human being. And so lately my job has been really stressful. And I've noticed that I have this really interesting story going on in my brain. It goes like this. I'm so stressed. Oh my God, I'm so stressed. Let me tell you how stressed I am. Oh my God, I'm so stressed. Am I ever going to do that? I have to do it. I'm so stressed. I'm so stressed. And I keep telling myself how stressed I am. And guess what? I keep getting more stressed. Because that's where my energy is focused. And then an owl will fly over my head. And I'll go, oh! And I forget that I'm stressed. Because you know what? The truth is, in that moment, I actually wasn't stressed. I was just telling myself I was stressed. So that is the beauty of paying attention. And I know that probably everybody in this room has had some experience with nature, something, a rainbow, a sunset, a sunrise, a bird, a deer, right? You've had those experiences where just for a moment you're like, oh, and you're delighted. Even if in the moment before you were just completely obsessed with how horrified you were about whatever or whomever. So we've had those experiences. And so Al-Anon, as a result of working these steps, and I've worked these steps multiple times with multiple sponsors, I find that I notice more quickly. Oh, I'm telling a story about how stressed I am, and guess what? My body feels tight. My neck hurts. I have a headache. And then I take a deep breath. And this is how I'm living my life. And this is how I got from surviving to thriving, is those 12 steps. And so my partner and I live in a, and I'm wrapping up, there's a great horned owl family. If you've heard me talk before, you knew the birds were coming, right? You knew that there would be some talk about feathers and wings and, you know, and in fact, in Hope for Today, there's a great reading. I actually think I read it within the last couple of days where the person talked about being deeply rooted so that their wings could spread. Isn't that a beautiful paradox? I'm rooted in reality so that I can fly and be free. And these, so anyway, there's this great horned owl family that lives in our neighborhood, and they're very elusive birds, owls, and so we feel so blessed that we can go, do you want to go, let's go look for the owls, my partner and I, let's go look for, we'll hear them, and then we look. And, I mean, we are having the most amazing owl encounters, and I'm sure people driving by are like, who are those weird people who are always standing there like this? Because they don't know that there's owls up in those trees talking to each other. They're just caught up in probably their own little story. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they see the owls. And so that's my higher power communicating to me. And so I'm going to share with you, this is not Al-Anon approved literature. This is just part of my spiritual experience. It's a book called The Hidden Lives of Owls. And there's notes from the field, insights from an owl. And by the way, the bookmark is called Advice from a Condor that a fellow Al-Anon member gave to me after she heard me speak at a day in Al-Anon. Like, I don't, you see what I'm saying? I don't have to go out and look for love and look for divine messages and look for burning bushes. It comes to me. And Al-Anon member's like, oh, Kylie, I saw this bookmark and I thought of you. I have been carrying it around in my purse for 2 months. Here you go. I don't even have to, really? I don't even have to like beg you for that little bit of love. You just have it for me. See, I go from surviving to thriving. I go from lack to abundance. So here's some, I'm going to close now with some advice from owls. Keep only what is useful. Regurgitate the rest. Right? What does that sound like? Take what you like and leave the rest. Be patient. Eventually something will move. Learn through play. I love the puzzles and the coloring and the bubbles. Accept help when it is offered. You see how seeing an owl now is a spiritual experience for me? Adapt to stay resilient. I think every single person sitting in this room is resilient. If we've been affected by the disease of alcoholism and choose on a Saturday afternoon to sit here together, that's resilience. We're not out there hurting ourselves. We're in here, surrounded by people who understand us and who love us even though they don't know us. That's a miracle. I love this program. Take time to sit and observe. That sounds easy, but I have to remind myself 50,000 times a day. Kyla, can you just breathe? Can I just do that? Parenthood is temporary. What? What? Think about that. Parenthood is temporary. Whew. For those of us who have raised adult children who have also suffered from this disease, my parents parenting me, that was temporary. I am 49 years old. It is not their job anymore. It's my responsibility to work these steps and to parent myself and to take care of myself. From owls. Without judgment, nature does not take sides. Where you live is not nearly as important as where you are alive. And I'm alive here with you in Al-Anon. Thank you for letting me share.
I'd like to thank all the speakers. Thank you.